Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes up.
Should I use the mic?
Okay. All right. So, it's just it's just an honor to be here to talk about this topic, and I know this is a topic that is pretty relevant. It should be relevant for all of us. And some of you in here may be even more resilient than I am, right? I'll be honest, I'm not a resilience expert either, okay? But I'm very passionate about this subject. And this is a subject that how I learned more about this was actually 2 years ago. And this was through my work. So I work at an accounting firm, and we had this global leadership program 2 years ago where it was like a 9-month program. And part of the curriculum was to spend time and learning about resilience. Very hot topic in the workplace these days. And it was something that where I kind of took away, I was like, wow, this is so relevant, not just from a workplace standpoint, but also in life. And there's a lot of things related to it that also connects back to our faith and what God calls us to. So I wanted to share that information because I hope that what we go through today would be a benefit to you as it has been a benefit to me. And there's going to be a lot to cover. So it's more of a survey, you know, like basically going through the lay of the land of resilience. And so we'll get started. So mission for the study: that God will teach us how to grow in being resilient as Christians in the workplace, and for us to continue to persevere in glorifying Him. So that's kind of our mission of what we want to try to get out of this study. Okay, so what is resilience? So resilience, there are a couple of different quotes here from various different places. And you could see that the theme, though, is about overcoming adversity. It's overcoming trauma issues, adapting to it, bouncing back. And those are two key words. Bouncing back is when you hear about the topic of resilience or you talk about it with people, that's a phrase that would always come up. And so, meaning bouncing back from our difficult experiences to get us back on in a more healthier state of being. So what's the history? What is resilience in the sense? It's not something that's a trait. It's not something you're born with. Resilience is actually something that's learned. It's a skill. It involves our thoughts, our actions, and it actually can be developed by anyone. And this is something that, from a research perspective, the first time that this had come up was back in 1970. There was certain first kind of official study on this topic. And since then, like past 5-10 years, it's just become more and more of a hot topic. There's a lot of people out there now making money, you know, in terms of training folks on this topic, especially corporations as well. So, like during the time that I was in this training 2 years ago, one of the consultants that came out was the founder of the Resilience Institute, and that's an institute that is based out in Australia. It's a guy who is, quote-unquote, more of an expert in this area. And he's been involved in training a lot of the top of, 500 Fortune 500 companies out there, including Microsoft. So a little bit of background. So how does this even relate to work? Okay, and I'm gonna speed through this a little bit because I know we've covered a lot of this already in our time together. But what's our primary calling? Our primary calling is to be salt and light. We're called to be make disciples of all nations. We're supposed to go and spread out, spread the gospel. Secondary calling is, we have different roles. All of us have different roles in this life, right? Whether it's occupational, in your family, church, community, etc. Okay, and we're supposed to be stewards in that. So again, that involves work. So then, on top of that, you know, we had talked about being image bearers. We talked about how God has called us to rule over, to manage His creation, to be co-workers with God, and ultimately to, you know, work it and take care of His creation. So that's part of what we call the cultural mandate. But Pastor Daniel is also here in the room. He had talked about work is good, but it's cursed, you know, after the fall. And so, yeah, there's thorns and thistles, just as he had talked about earlier today. And as a result of that, it's not easy, right? Work is not necessarily easy. There's toil in it. So there's suffering, there's trials, things that we face, have to overcome. And so what does the Bible say about struggles and trials? So we see in James 1, 2 to 4, Romans 5, 3 to 5. And these are passages that are near dear to my heart. Because I always, you know, I've been working at my company for 14 years now. And there are many days I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Why? And days where I just felt like, God, you need to pull me through. I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, I love Grace's story that she just shared. And you know how she talked about how, you know, she was always like a person that's in control. And basically, God just broke her. And He broke me through my work. I was a type of person that was always in control, giving my best, because I always felt as long as you put 100% of effort and you keep working harder than anyone else, you will get there. I got to a point, there's too much going on that there's just no way. I was like, Lord, I can't do this. The only thing I could do was either go be insane or just to give up, you know, control to God. And I gave up control to God. It was the most freeing thing that I've experienced in my life. But at the same time, still didn't take away some of the struggles I faced. The struggles are real. Like, there was one incident where literally I saw my career flash before my eyes. And so, again, I'm working at an accounting firm. And what we do is I specifically audit financial statements of companies. And one of the things that is something you never wanted to happen is someone to come back and say you made a big mistake in the audit and you need to go back and fix it, or it's called restate your financial statements. And I ran into one of these issues potentially, and it was an issue related to taxes where I didn't really know too much about, and our tax folks were just, they left the firm, and I was held with the bag to try to figure out what the heck was going on, working with our partner. Week of just angst, roller coaster for like a 2-week period, and working through the weekend. And I couldn't see an end in sight. And this was one of these moments where I always kind of say, oh gosh, this was one of the key struggles, mile markers, you know, in my life, or a Red Sea type moment. And why I say Red Sea type moment is, you know, the Israelites, they went to, and they're fleeing away from the Egyptians, right? And then what did God do? You know, it's like, there's a dead end, there's water, but he made something miraculous happen and split the sea, right? And in this same instance, that's what he did. So I just share that story because, hey, you still go through suffering, right? God will, you know, He promises you that He's not going to leave you. He will be there with you. He is going to be your comfort. And through all of these trials, right, there's also a promise that there's a production of steadfastness, a production of endurance. And that's one of the things where makes you somebody that's more durable, someone that ultimately God will continue to use for his glory. So moving on from there, so how does resilience come into place? Well, resilience actually helps us in this process, right? It helps us build steadfastness. It helps us build endurance. It helps us bounce back from failures at work, have a stronger foundation to weather the storm, okay? And then what does Romans, the passage in Romans talk about? That the steadfast endurance will lead to further fruits, character, hope. And the other thing, you know, lastly, is about reputation. I think reputation in the workplace is very important, especially if you're a Christian. And why is that? You want to capitalize on gospel opportunities. But if you want to capitalize on gospel opportunities, it's not helpful if you're one of the worst workers and someone that just can't handle, you know, things, right? And, you know, I think this is one of the things where resilience really helps to build you to be a person that's has a reputation of being calm under the storm. Okay. So I love this quote, okay? This Sinclair Ferguson, Discovering God's Will. So when the Christian serves God in his daily work, he too may lie down at night with the same spirit of thanksgiving and joy. He knows that his daily work is not an unfortunate addition to the Christian life. It is a part and parcel to it. Along with home and family life, the fellowship of God's people and his service, or our life calling, is promised blessing by the Lord. Why do I share this? I share this because, you know, as a Christian, we are serving God. Okay, and yes, there's going to be hardship in all of this, but like at the end of the day, when you're going to sleep, right, the goal and intention should be, wow, thank you, Lord. Right? I have joy in what you are doing and you're doing through me. And just like God had at the end of each day of creation, he said what? He said, it is good, or very good. I kind of see it as, yeah, same thing. Can we strive to then say at the end of the day, going to sleep, oh yes, God is good, and the work that I did has been good, right? And through all of it, it's hard. I mean, we face adversity. It's and it's oftentimes it's hard to say that. But I think that's where resilience comes into place. And through the struggles we still face, that ultimately that we can be in this state of thanksgiving and joy. Okay, so now what we're gonna go into is just the various different aspects of resilience. And again, this is a lot of from secular sources, again, from the learnings that I had 2 years ago, but I think a lot of it is very relevant, okay? So there's four domains, and there's also varying views depending upon which organization, which, you know, companies out there are trying to study this topic, but there's some relative consistency amongst different organizations, but the four key ones are body, heart, mind, and spirit. Okay? And so body, what is that? That's like our physical resilience. And in terms of, you know, as it relates to fitness, as it relates to our sleep, as it relates to our nutrition, and how well we recover physically. Now, our heart, you know, that's more of the emotion. Okay? And so what is like your emotional intelligence like? And how do you react or respond to certain things that happen emotionally? Mind, what that is really involving your focus and your attention to what is going on. And then your spirit is, this is what we talk about, aligning yourself in terms of your purpose and your values, and kind of being able to use that to propel yourself and also in terms of impact of others. Okay. So this is another cut of the Dominions of Resilience. But again, like I talked about, heart was emotional. You know, you have the body, which is physical, and then the mind, which is mental and spiritual. And all of these things work together, right? And if you ultimately are optimally, you know, in the right place for each of these things, it builds more coherence in yourself and in terms of addressing various different situations. Okay. All right, so then what I had to do here is like, okay, let's look at this from a Christian perspective. How does this relate to what God has to say for us? And the thing, though, is, interestingly, is all of these concepts are also, you know, things that are in the Word, in the sense that, you know, what is the makeup of our, you know, in terms of our body, right? Of our mind, heart, and spirit, and what reigns those specific areas. And I'll talk more about that later, okay? But we're going to go a little bit back into some of, in terms of, this is a model actually from Dr. Sven Hansen, the consultant I told you about. And this is basically showing, this is what we call the downward spiral. Okay? And this is another terminology you might hear as you get more familiar with this topic. So there's assets at the top, there's liabilities on the bottom. You know, that's like, you know, near dear to my heart, because that's like accounting, you know, that makes sense to me. So basically, positives on the top, negatives on the bottom, okay? And this is something where, you know, Dr. Sven Hansen uses to illustrate, you know, further in terms of how, what are the symptoms that we should be watching out for, and then how can we end up bouncing back from it, and then going, even not just bouncing back, but how can we master stress and ultimately align all the different positive things to really be at a state where, you know, we're really resilient. So, now, I don't know if you guys have, actually, raise of hands, has anyone, like, studied this topic or been trained on this topic at all in the workplace or anywhere? No? Okay. So one of the things I would suggest, okay, is that, you know, there's resources online where you can actually take a test on, like, how resilient, that gauges how resilient you are in situations. I think it's a very beneficial thing to do, to kind of gauge to see where these different institutes and different organizations think you are. Because it is actually a reflection of how you react in certain situations. And then it can kind of assess to see, okay, how can I grow from that as a worker in the professional world and just also in general as a person. So there's two other places you can go is onechange.co and then myresilience.co.uk. So it's a UK company, but, you know, there's free tests that you can take there. The Resilience Institute, you actually have to pay money to take it, but then if you pay money, then you can also get access to all of the trainings that they have online. Now, to go a little bit further, so we're going to talk about the resilience assets. So what is the resilience assets? So first, on the bottom, and this is kind of mastering stress. This is about knowledge of kind of how to. It's kind of like your foundation. And there's certain things in this bucket where learning about breathing control, so trying to calm yourself down. So I don't know if you guys have heard, like, of different, like, say, oh, man, I'm so nervous. Hey, calm down, guy. You know, like, try to breathe, right? And that's part of, it's actually a mechanism that, you know, in studies have done where it does, you know, calm yourself, right? So, like, for instance, what I do when I go, I know, like, I'm going to go into this big meeting or something. I was like, okay, I need to calm my blood pressure down. I need to calm my nerves down. Just breathe. And so I breathe in, and then my stomach goes out. Breathe. And then once I breathe out, my stomach goes in. And just keep that going until I feel a little bit more comfortable. Okay. And then also just awareness of your body and other stress, because we all react differently to, you know, different stress factors. So you kind of need to know what are those cues, right? And then also kind of knowing, trying to have that perspective of, okay, bouncing back from adversity. And there's this concept of not just bouncing back, but seeking flow. So what the heck is flow? So what Dr. Sven Hansen talks about is that flow is like peak performance. So what does that mean? I kind of think of it as like when you're at work and you're like totally in the zone and you have like crazy amount of productivity, everything's just coming together. And so how that comes to place is when all of these different domains, you know, are really kind of working well together to get you there. And then there's also the aspect from an organizational standpoint, like say if you're working in team, that there's that concept of working well together to this optimal state to have flow. Okay, and so I'm not going to go into the history, but it's a term, you know, coined by a certain guy back when. And so that's kind of like the knowledge, right? And kind of keeping these things in mind, and we're going to go into the various different domains of how this all applies. So body, I'm going to try to go through this quickly. Is okay. So there are certain things here. I think a lot of us will be familiar with this already, right? So one of the key things about physical resilience is, well, you need to be healthy. How are you going to be healthy? And one of the ways is exercising. There are studies done that if you exercise in the morning, right, that actually, you know, really boosts your metabolism, gets your blood going, and gives you energy to start the day, right? So that's one of the things, if you're not already doing this, is to have an exercise routine. Now, restful sleep is also important. You know, sleep represents over a third of our lives, actually. And there's also studies on this, if, you know, in terms of people that don't sleep that much versus people that sleep 7 to 9 hours, in terms of the potential that you have is so much greater if you sleep normal hours, okay? And if you deprive yourself of sleep, then again, that kind of leads to almost situations where you're handicapping yourself in the workplace. Other thing, and this gets a little bit hokey, you might think it's hokey, but now in terms of pre-time bed ritual, so I don't know, have you guys ever heard of like blue light? Okay, so when I first heard this, I was like, what? Blue light? I mean, come on. What are you talking about? So basically, blue light is something, you know, it's in, you know, naturally in the sun too, but also in lighting, especially fluorescent lighting. And it actually messes with your circadian rhythm. And so that's kind of the rhythm that goes on in terms of your sleep and also impacts your REM sleep. And that's like the important sleep you need to get. And so there's, you know, perspective on this that, you know, you should stay away from blue light, you know, and have a pre bedtime ritual. And so doing so like 1 to 2 hours before bedtime, just don't use your screens, don't use your computers, or at least, you know, I know the iPhone, you can change it to yellow light. Okay, the minimum, do something like that. Right? And the reason why is because it impacts kind of, you know, it messes up with that that rhythm of sleep. So you might think, okay, why do I get bad sleep all the time? And it perhaps could be part of this reason, okay? Eat well. I mean, that should be self-explanatory, healthy food, okay? Now, we're going to move on to emotion. So this is one of the key areas here is about emotional intelligence. And There's this has been a term that was created by two researchers named Peter Salovey and John Mayer. I don't think John Mayer, you know, the musician, but it was popularized by another guy named Dan Goleman. He actually wrote a book, one of the bestseller books, called Emotional Intelligence in 1996. And so what basically is basically that it's the ability to recognize and understand and manage your own emotions, and also to recognize, understand, and influence the emotions of others. So this, again, this is a skill set as well, something that can be learned. And it's made out of five things. One is about, first, being self-aware, knowing what emotion you're feeling. And two is then figuring out how to manage it. And then having, you know, specific motivation in terms of how you're going to address it. And also in terms of empathy, in terms of when you're looking at someone else and seeing what they're dealing with and understanding kind of what they're going through. And then lastly, in terms of actually handling relationships. And this is basically where you're essentially helping them recognize what they're going through and helping them kind of see, you know, where they need to address their specific emotional issue. Now, I'm not going to talk too much more on this because it's a whole nother topic, okay? But one of the things I want to talk about that's very interesting is in our brain, there's something called the amygdala. Do you guys know what that is? Okay, all right. So for those that you don't know, that's actually a part of the brain that's responsible for emotional reaction. And it's like right in the middle somewhere. And so this is something where, you know, when you face something and it just hits you the wrong way, the amygdala, you know, goes into action. And especially if it's something where, like, it triggers something very, like, negative or something, like, frightening, like, it actually impacts your or kicks in your fight and flight, you know, trigger. So, like, say, for instance, if you see a tiger come into the room, right, you know, you're going to feel that, oh, whoa, I got to run, or that type of automatic response. So what the amygdala is, it actually hijacks. So there's a concept called amygdala hijack. It actually hijacks your other components of your brain. So like the frontal part, the neocortex is where it drives your thinking. And so that's something where it'll just take everything over so that, you know, your response is based upon what the amygdala, like your gut reaction is to the situation. Now, how does this relate to work? And how does this relate to, you know, resilience? So the thing is that it relates because there's sometimes, and you know, in the workplace, we get emails or there's certain interactions with our boss or there's certain interactions with our coworkers where, bam, it just hits an automatic response. You might, like, act negatively because it just hits something really core in you. And so the key thing is to first recognize that, and then two is to then take a step back, breathe, right, and watch yourself before you say something or before you act and do. Okay. So next one is mind. Okay. So, and here, this is where, you know, resilience folks talk a lot about being present in the moment. And it's about being relaxed. It's about being alert, fully engaged. And part of this is something where there's a practice. Have you guys heard of mindfulness? Right. So it's another hot, you know, thing out there these days. Oh, yeah, you know, practice mindfulness. And so mindfulness is simply the focusing, it's about focusing of attention and awareness. It actually stems from like Buddhist type mindfulness behavior, or I don't know if you call it behavior, but practice. But I think ultimately as a Christian, I kind of look at it more as like meditation, and we can talk a little bit more about that later. Okay. All right, how am I doing on time? 10 minutes? Okay. All right. We're gonna speed ahead then. Okay. And spirit in action, you know, like I said, this is something where it's where you're leading to foster compassion for self and others, influence on others, and this is where you're tied in with your purpose and values. All right, now I'm gonna go back. So basically what this slide is showing is this is basically the liabilities, okay? And here's another slide here that's a little bit more focused. But you could see here that there's various different symptoms on the right-hand side that you should be watching for. And if something happens in your workplace or in life in general, what this downward spiral is supposed to represent is that, yeah, it starts with confusion, then you get disengaged, and then it just keeps getting worse. And so you could go down this downward spiral rather quickly. But sometimes you might go down this downward spiral very slowly, but it's a matter of first recognizing it and then bouncing back. Because if you go all the way down further, it's just harder to bounce back to a more positive state. I'm going to move on for this for the sake of time. So from a Christian perspective, okay, you know, I was kind of looking at this and trying to relate it back to what does God tell us to do? What does the Bible talk about? And if we look at the body in particular, right, rest is actually very important, right? So God rested on the seventh day. We are made to rest. And so we too, you know, I think all of that is very important for us to take rest seriously, so our sleep seriously. It's also to take care of our bodies as well, to exercise, because, you know, the Bible also talks about the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The body talks about, you know, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. So I think in all of that, it's very important for us to be good stewards of our body. Okay. Mind. And I think the Bible talks a lot about, and Paul talks a lot about, the mind of Christ. Okay. And our minds are supposed to be conformed to the mind of Christ. You read in Matthew about where there's this abiding in Jesus, and this, it's almost sort of incestuous, but it's like that's what God wants us to have, that mind of Christ, just like Christ has. And it's how do we have that? And it's through his word, right? It's through his word, and for that word to really soak into our hearts. So what's the point there? We need to not just read the Bible, but the Bible needs to meditate. It needs to marinate into our hearts. Just as like a car takes gasoline to run, we are made and run by God's word. Okay. So that's why it's utterly important that we're soaking in the word, so that our minds are being conformed to Christ. Emotion, okay, so our heart and soul. So what does God call us to do? He calls us to love him and to love others as ourselves, right? It's greatest and second commandment. So again, this is something also that where we do this, where we focus on this, you know, we can kind of center ourselves back to what really matters, okay? And this in turn should also help in as it relates to your emotional intelligence. And then spirit. So dependence upon the Holy Spirit, living by our purpose and values, okay? So, you know, the Bible also talks a lot about how the Spirit works with, you know, the Word, right? There's this interplay. And I think if you look at all of these domains, there's just interplay that's going on with all of these different domains as well. And so but this is kind of where it brings and glues everything together, is the Holy Spirit working within us, sanctifying us. And when it's aligned with, you know, our purpose as who God has made us, I think there's so much power in that. Okay. So now I talked about purpose. Do you guys have a purpose? Okay. We talked about in this today about going back to Genesis, just the overall kind of purpose. But what has God called you to do? You know, is there specific purposes that He's called you in the different roles that you have? One of the things 2 years ago in my training, we also learned about, specifically kind of spending some time to, you know, really kind of think through that. And for me, I realized if I summarize my personal purpose statement, it's really to inspire others and to be inspired. And that is something where I realized, yeah, that sort of pretty much sums up kind of, you know, why I do the things that I do. And I'm inspired by other people, especially when God is working evidently within their lives, and God is just clear that God is working. And that really propels me to be an inspiration to others. Okay? And so this is just something where, again, if you haven't really thought through, like, oh, what do I have some sort of overall personal purpose statement or whatnot? This is something to, you know, ponder and think about as it relates to your different roles in life. Okay. Again, so here, bouncing back from failure and suffering. So this is something where there's a book, actually, called Being Resilient by Donna Gibbs. Okay. And, you know, she goes through a lot of different things that are very helpful in this topic, and she puts everything from a Christian perspective. And so some of the things that she talks about is, as it relates to bouncing back, you need to identify and stop poor destructive coping mechanisms. What does that mean? So sometimes, like, when you face, like, struggles, you might say, oh gosh, I need to, like, get a drink, or I need to, you know, like, go in front of the TV and just veg and just, oh yeah, you know, not do anything else. So there's all these other things that could potentially cause other problems, which means that you're continuing to spiral down and going down further. Now you have multiple problems that you're dealing with. So it's first to be aware about that, and some of these other things in terms of, you could be using the victim card, over-identifying yourself as a victim, and so it just becomes more of a deep-seated issue. Over analyzing the situation and come tunnel vision and etc. Okay. So what else? It's obvious. We need to turn God to prayer. Right? You see in the Psalms, David cry out to God. You know, are you crying out to God in these times where it just sucks? Okay. And are you telling the whole truth? Are you telling the whole story? And that's to God first, but also to others. And that's one of the other things too, is that sometimes people don't heal through suffering because they don't want to touch upon, you know, the core of what is actually the issue. Okay, so they might tell the story of A, B, and D, but they might miss out on the C, and they clung on to not addressing and releasing that to the Lord, you know, in that area. And that's something where, you know, Donna Gibbs, she's a professional counselor, you know, dealing with counseling for over 20 plus years, and she talks about that. And so as she counsels, she's always tries to find out, you know, are you not telling me something, right? But when they tell the whole story, and you're vulnerable, and you open yourself, you're on your path towards the right direction. And then look back on moments when God has been faithful, right? So like I shared about my story, Red Sea type moments, forward, eternal perspective, right? Grace has talked about that in her testimony. And then practice mindful gratitude. What does that mean? Like, so whenever you're going through sufferings, mindful gratitude is thinking consciously, thinking about what are the positive things that I'm facing or that I'm going through as I'm going through this time of suffering. Thanking God in each of those different things. Okay? And then reminding yourself based upon what James and Romans talks about, that there's actually a good purpose for suffering. It leads to maturity. Okay? Now, we're almost in the home stretch, okay? So sorry, guys. But so it's not just about surviving, okay? And what God really wants us to do is to thrive. To thrive as Christians. And so, you know, one of the things that I love going back to Grace's testimony, because she's talking about, like, Allie and, you know, her struggles that she's facing, hoping that one day, you know, God will continue use that for a greater purpose, right? A lot of us go through struggles, and then ultimately other people can relate to it. The question is, what are you going to do in terms of being a steward of the suffering that you had faced before? And this is where you can be someone that spurs and encourages someone else on when you're using your experience to then impact someone else. So they're not just surviving themselves, but they're also thriving. And this is biblical, right? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful career and continue to do good. I like this other verse here. Actually, it's on the next slide, but basically it's 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, where it says, Praise be to our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Right? So, going back to Donna Gibbs' quote, you know, this is something where we can really thrive. We submit our hurts to God, okay? And we anticipate, you know, the working of God in our life, that there's a greater purpose in this, and eventually there will be a reward, right? There's temporal reward, right, in God bringing about wins in overcoming these struggles and in the struggles of other people, but also eternal reward, when there will be no more pain, no more suffering, right, when we go to heaven. So I don't know if we have, okay. So, you know, what I was going to end with actually is, you know, I told you guys about the training that I took 2 years ago. Okay. And at the last day we were told to, give a speech or just presentation of what we took away and what we learned, okay, from our time together. And it was a long time. And, you know, I decided to actually write a song and to sing a song to my group of like 60 people, folks from, you know, it's a global leadership program, so other senior managers, you know, at my company. And I also wanted to thank them because I learned so much from them, even though most of them were not Christian. But we're all image bearers, and we're all trying to strive to find some truth, right? And so I guess with that, I wanted to just summarize, you know, this. I want to share this song because this song is also about a song about resilience, because I feel like it's been kind of a story of my life, okay? Yeah, so just take some time just to just read through the words and let it just soak in your hearts, okay?
Struggle juggling on, even with a purpose, it's hard pressing on. Sacrifice I made along the way that leads to regret. Need to set boundaries and not to forget. Be in the moment and giving it your best. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seek to be inspired, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa. Don't go as planned, feeling like a failure, sinking in the sand. Stop or it's harder to break free. Don't take others with you. Need to bounce back from these blues. Find time in prayer and meditate it through. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seek to be inspired, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa. Viewing is easier than climbing a peak. Growth is tough, but reflect on past feats. Don't let the risk of failure hold you back in the moving forward. Take others with you, enjoy the journey. Celebrate at the top and bask in the beauty. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seek to be inspired, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seek to be inspired, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa. Oh, don't give up, don't hold back. Need to trust, need to press on. So don't give up, don't hold back. Need to trust, need to press on. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seek to be inspired, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa. Living out your purpose, let your values shine. Seeking to inspire, let it fill you all. Live to inspire, live to inspire, live to inspire. Whoa.
Praise God. right, so that pretty much puts it a wrap for today. There's Ice Cream Social. I don't know if there's more announcements you want to add on to that, but yeah.